If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Mikey and Rin-Eden. Yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Yep. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In. This is Mikey.
And I'm Rin.
So good to see you.
It's great to see you. Robed and masked.
That's what I was going to say is, how would you describe our life right now? Would you say hashtag spa life?
A little bit.
Yeah. We're in our home, but we are also in our matching gray robes.
So dorky.
It just so happens to be like everything that we buy, we bought raincoats. We bought them completely separately. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if like we knew what we each had raincoat wise. And we each bought a dark navy blue raincoat and we just like would look like these. And we live in Portland where it rains all the time. So we'd be walking around in our matching idiot coats. And then we bought, well, you've had that robe for a long time. I did buy mine afterwards.
You did a little copycat
situation. And I bought a gray. So we're just in here with, we have masks on. my mask is green, kind of like the Hulk. And it's a, or no, I guess it's not. It's kind of gray green. But I mixed, what I did was I did kind of a suicide, like the, you know, where you take like, you'd get a drink and you get Coke, Sprite, root beer, Dr. Pepper, all the things in one. But I basically took all of, a couple masks that I had and then a couple, like all the different facial stuff that I have. And I just mixed it all together like a cocktail.
Love that.
Yeah. But I think I actually did it well because there were some of the masks that I had were like too dry and they like sucked my skin dry. And I have a very pink face.
You do.
And I want it not to be that pink.
Yeah.
So I kind of added some things that I trust.
It's great.
Yeah. And it also was a great way to save money.
Yeah. Use every last drop.
Every drop.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So we're here. It's the week before Easter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Our house smells and feels Eastery. I don't know what that means. Jesus has risen. Jesus is here.
It smells really musty.
I know. He did not have the best bathing rituals. He was not wearing too many masks.
It has been sourdough central in the Chablanc household here for...
That's what Jesus's smell was.
Exactly.
It was a sourdoughy.
Sourdough-esque.
Cultured smell.
And today was officially the first baking of, you know, with using the sourdough starter that I've been
And we talked about the starter, I think, on the show.
Yeah, yeah. And we did some stuff with the, when you're feeding the sourdough starter in the beginning, you have some stuff that you pour off or some discard so you can use that in recipes.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been particularly sourdoughy.
Yeah. I mean, and the sourdough starter process, I've always come to sourdough starters, I guess once they've been established. And I don't know. I don't know what I thought they came from. I don't know. I guess it was like I thought you like made sourdough one time. Like you made a bread one time and then you kind of kept some of the beginning elements of it or whatever. And then you just kind of let it ferment or you let it like sour and then you kind of kept that or whatever. But this was like, I mean, it was a fucking scientific process.
Totally.
I mean, we're not very scientific, but you were really following the rules. We had it above our fireplace so it stayed nice and warm. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, you know, feeding it every 4 hours or something, mm-hmm. 4 to 8 hours. And I was nervous.
Oh, yeah. I felt really nervous. It felt like we had
a newborn in the house.
I know. It was really, well, because then once you've put that much time and effort into something, if you fuck it up, it feels really gnarly.
Well, this is what I said to Rin earlier, was when I was in culinary school at the CIA in Napa, it looks like Hogwarts. And kind of one half of the kitchen was my program, which was like everything. So we learned how to bake and, you know, but we also learned how to grill and make sauces and, you know, do all the things. So it was kind of hot side. And then the baking and pastry side was the other side. And the time that we went in and we started baking and we made bread was the first thing we made. And we were making it with one of the chefs who's like badass. He was like super well known, mm-hmm. award winning, whatever. And I started doing it and I was like, oh my God, like maybe I found my calling. Like I love this. It's like artsy and it's sculpture. And I fucking love bread because I'm a fat kid who wants to eat more butter. And so the first thing that we made was like, you know, just kind of a standard, I guess, a boule, mm-hmm. crusty, rustic loaf of bread, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we spent a day making it and proofing it overnight. And then we, the next day, you know, punched it down and then proofed it again. And then we like, you know, with a razor blade, cut the top, mm-hmm. and formed it really beautifully on the wood thing and then put it in the oven. This is like, you know, the end of the second day. So we spent 2 whole days on making these loaves. And I don't know, went and jacked off in the bathroom or something. And my fucking loaf was like 8 to 10 minutes in there too long and it burnt.
Yeah.
All for nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck baking. I'm out.
So interesting. I wonder, had that gone well on your first baking, if your life would have looked very different.
I know. I wonder about that. I mean, the other thing is I don't think I have the brain, like the patience on some level for baking. Maybe I do. But I always kind of convinced myself that I wasn't sciencey enough for baking, because a lot of it is that.
It's funny because I don't consider myself sciencey. I would definitely consider myself a very good rule follower.
That's what I was going to say. You're like militant about that.
Yeah. I was up losing sleep last night because I had forgotten to put the salt into my bread, which was sort of souring overnight. And I was like, that's it. I fucked it all up.
I keep saying proofing because I think proving is the English way of saying it, right?
Like, right.
Because we've been watching Great British Baking Show too much. And so proving.
Yeah.
But it's not, is it a proofing box or a proving box? Proofing box.
Yeah.
In the United States.
I think so. I don't know. That's a good question.
But I mean, well, just so you know, so you guys will hear me eating on microphone this round, but the bread, I know you added the salt, but I mean, it's perfectly incorporated. It tastes salty enough. It's super good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I added it in on the second rise that it did.
Yeah.
So, you know, added in the salt and then kneaded it and then let it rise again before I baked it.
It's so good.
I know. All in all, I would say, and this is a gluten-free sourdough starter with a gluten-free loaf of bread. So I used sorghum flour and buckwheat flour and tapioca flour. There's no gums in it.
Well, and then the original was brown rice flour, right? Was
the original starter. That's the starter.
But that's a starter though. Yeah.
Yep. And the recipe is on Cultures for Health, which is what the actual starter that I used. So
you like ordered like a bag of starter or like the powder or something.
Yeah, the culture that you actually use to start. Because you can like harvest your own wild yeast and do a sourdough that way. But that felt a little
And what too, is the starter culture? Is it like a lactobacillus?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So
that's cool. I mean, and tell me why. Oh, just by the way, everybody, we don't have a guest this episode. So you just get to enjoy the two of us making love to your eardrums.
Yeah. We thought we would kind of take you through a little bit of sourdough week and some troubleshooting and things that I learned.
Totally.
And maybe talk a little Easter too.
Yeah. And then we were going to talk about, I have a quiz. I have an Easter quiz for Rin.
Wonderful.
Yep. And then, Rinny spent the week. We'll talk about Rin's week versus Mikey's week. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And so why? I don't like sourdough. Mm-hmm. Like I've never liked it. Sourdough pizza, barf. I don't think it's disgusting, mm-hmm. but it's just not a flavor that I'm looking for. Mm. Like I love lemon. Mm-hmm. Like I love sour mm-hmm. flavors. I love like, a, you know, kind of some of those Vietnamese or Southeast Asian flavors that end up like soury meat flavors. Mm-hmm. I love that sour sauces and stuff. But sourdough bread, I never really liked it. Hmm. It's just a tang that I don't need. Like hmm. I feel like I'm biting into a piece of bread because I want comfort and it feels like it's challenging me or something. Mm. Like it feels like homework bread to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I didn't know there was going to be a fucking test. I just wanted to like,
Your taste buds are so bummed because they did not prepare.
No, they're having those stress dreams that like yes. me and my dad have had for years where it's like, wait, it's finals day. And I thought I dropped this class. I have to go to the final now.
I don't even know what this class is.
I don't even know what's. This type of science is. I keep saying science, but I feel like maths is ooh, more where my dreams yikes. Come from.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like algebra, trigonomic, fuck show, 69.
It's calculus. It's calculus is what it is.
No, it's trig.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because calculus, I think I even know what the kind of basics are. Trigonometry, fuck no. I know that space people use it.
Sure.
Like astronaut. Helping astronaut not die people over the, you know, I did the trigonometry shit. But what was I talking about? Oh, sourdough. No,
you don't like sourdough. Yeah.
Because yeah. I'm like a baguette. I'm a basic baguette bitch.
Don't get me wrong. I love a good baguette.
Sure.
But I
why'd you
also,
make sourdough?
Why did I make yeah. it? Well, because I love the flavor. I love things that are sour and tangy. So like yogurts and yeah. definitely lemon and kefirs and that
I think
flavor
we eat,
profile.
I think we eat 15 lemons a week on average.
Oh,
in our
probably.
House. I was
yeah.
kind of counting this week. I think it's
I mean, I have
lemons.
Lemon water with basically half a lemon every morning.
We use two lemons every morning.
Yeah, that's possible.
Basically. And then I think more. So we might eat 20 lemons a week. It's unbelievable.
It's a good thing we live in Portland where they are so.
I know. We need to move
they
to
really
California.
Grow prolifically here.
Yeah.
But I personally really like that extra tang because me too, I'm eating bread for the comfort. And I grew up with Columbus Bakery. Shout out to Columbus Bakery in Syracuse, New York.
Yeah.
The greatest white Italian bread, I think, on earth.
Well, and I was going to
so
say,
gorgeous.
You grew up with the basic bitchest bread.
Oh yeah,
like
for
when
sure.
I, you know, I remember the first time we went home and you were like, oh my god, you have to try this bread.
Well, I
bread.
Didn't grow up with like Wonder Bread, right? We
well,
never
no,
had that
no.
nonsense in the house.
But I mean, white Italian bread is pretty. I mean, it's very, it's like basic bread,
yeah.
you know. And I just remember the first time you were like, oh my gosh, you have to try this bread, and I was expecting like, I don't know, some artisanal. Crunchy, oh, no. whatever. No, it's like, it looks like dinner rolls kind of, but in a different shape, but it's
but
so
very,
good.
Yeah, and crunchy
it's
on
so
the outside.
Good. Yeah.
And the, you know, same family's owned it for three generations
yeah.
in the same building with the same oven. And
this place is wild.
Gorgeous. Oh, it's so beautiful.
We have,
so, it's amazing.
So Jani, that was on our first episode, her and her wife are moving and whole family are moving to, Syracuse where you're from. And Corinne could not be more excited.
Oh my
she
God.
She gets to teach someone about her home.
Yeah, that was the first thing I put on their list.
Yeah, was, this place is amazing. It looks like a cave underneath. Like the base, they're in the basement is where the ovens are, and it's the picture that I have of the. It's all these guys in like, I guess we call them wife beaters. I don't know. That is the name of the shirt. It feels like a really
yeah,
shitty
a white thing. Tank top.
A white tank top, an undershirt, yeah. An A shirt, maybe they're called sometimes. I think.
Okay.
But and they're like sweating and covered in flour. In the basement that looks like a dungeon.
It's awesome.
With these ovens in the back. It's so cool.
It's so good. But, you know, I think also to answer your questions, including sourdough in your baking, because you've got that really nice culture, it can be helpful for digestion,
yeah.
right? So when you're eating something that is really grain heavy
yeah.
and maybe a little bit tough for the digestive system to process, having that extra culture in there can be really lovely and supportive.
Well, and Rin made more than one thing today. You made bread, but you also made...
I did. I made granola too.
Which was fucking weird. Like just that
right?
you were like, I was like, what do you mean sourdough granola?
Again, a cultures for health recipe. So I'm kind of right now feeling like Mikey circa... What would it have been? 1999 or 2000?
This is good, Mikey.
His housemates and him ordered a tabletop fryer.
Oh, yeah.
Correct? Or countertop
well,
fryer.
I can't say housemates. I will say one housemate
uh-huh.
whose name
but
is
you,
Todd.
But you all you all partook.
Well, no, understood. But no, Todd would stay up all night smoking cigarettes in his room and would order shit off of the, what do you call them? Infomercials. Set it and forget it. We had that oven.
Nice.
But he ordered like a Fry Daddy, like a tabletop deep fryer.
Fuck yeah.
And we didn't know it was coming. And we, I think collectively, we had four people in the house. I think we gained 80 pounds collectively.
Because you just wanted to fry everything. Well,
we were
right?
Like drunk college kids and we were like, could you deep fry a slice of pizza? You can.
You can. Well, I kind of feel that way with my sourdough starter right now. Like, can you sour granola? Fuck yeah, you can.
Sure.
Can I sour my egg scramble in the morning? I don't know. Woof. Maybe.
Sure.
But it really feels like that. I feel so inspired by that sweet little starter. We've developed quite a relationship.
Well, you know what you and I can do? Mm. We can have a sour off. And your sour come from your sourdough, and mine will come from citric acid that's on my Sour Patch Kids, and it's on my sour gummy bears that I love to eat that Rin sure. hates.
Yeah. I know, that's funny, because that sour, that like real fakey kind of puckery.
Yeah, puckery. I love that shit. Like Warheads. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
And kids used to be like, oh my God, can you imagine eating like Warhead? And I just would eat them like, I'll eat a lemon. Like an orange, like I'll just peel the meat out and eat it. I love it. But I used to eat Sourheads or Warheads, no problem. Ugh, yeah.
Not my jam.
Yeah, I love it.
I do need the like balance of the, cause so the bread I made, the buckwheat is kind of like gives a sweetness to it almost. Mm, yeah. And so there is this nice balance. It's not obviously not pure sour. But the granola, again, a Cultures for Health recipe, and it's beautiful.
It's really awesome.
Gorgeous. The texture is
really
cool.
It's like it's almost like a battered, a battered granola kind of. If you had like
it's crunchy
those
still.
Those battered fries, you know, and they'll put that kind of potato starch layer on them, like a lot of fast food places do, whatever. It's that extra layer of crunch. It's like that, but on the granola, and it's wonderful. It's super good. Or it's kind of like pancakey.
Yeah.
Batter. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because the oats and what else was in there? Maple syrup and water and then your sourdough starter, they all sit for 24 hours to sour.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just such an interesting recipe. And I am like, I'm living.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. I mean, it's so like what I'm looking at in my kitchen right now is gorgeous.
Well, and then Mikey took this as Rin's like, oh, I'm going to pull the bread out. And I was like, do we have butter? And I realized that we didn't. And so I went out and I bought seven different types of butter. I bought like, you know, went to kind of the fancy grocery store and I bought all seven of their like best looking salted butters. I don't fuck around with unsalted. I know that maybe I've talked about this on the show and it's like always like the chef number one thing is everybody uses unsalted butter. Mm. Fuck off. Salt's delicious. There's like, I'm not going to oversalt my food with the butter. Like I'm just like giving it a foundation, a layer of salt to start with.
Right, right.
And it's an intro, an appetizer of salt. But so we're going to try out all these different butters and we'll report back on them.
Yeah. So, I mean, my favorite, just not having like tried a ton of butter, I don't think, but Kerrygold has just always
is really
like
good.
Risen to the top of the pack for me. It's also just such a visually appealing butter.
It's like the orange
it's
or yellow
so
butter.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
That's true. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, and this is just the, I don't know, this is the beauty of this world. I also do feel a little bit like if I were to eat, let's just say five slices of baguette with butter, I would feel like I did something naughty. Mm, mm-hmm. It feels guilty. Mm-hmm. Sourdough, on the other hand, I feel like I'm kind of doing my homework.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm kind of, my gut is maybe getting some health. And especially we just-
You'd be doing your gut a disservice if you didn't eat it.
See?
You know?
You get it.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, and this kind of leads me to my week versus your week. So Corinne has been just, you know, dutifully looking after the sourdough starter. And I admittedly, I helped out a little bit with the sourdough starter. And like, I got really nervous every time I did anything with it. So I was really pumped that you were going to, you know, keep holding the reins. But the thing that happened with Sheethy this week was it was dumping snow in Oregon. And so I went to Bend, which is where some of our friends live, and it's where Mount Bachelor is. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm gonna go stay in our van, and I'm gonna ski. Like I skied like 20 something inches of powder each day. It was unbelievable. But what I also did was I nodded. And so I ate pizza, I think 3 times over 2 days.
And no sourdough pizza was up in there.
Oh, definitely not. I did one Detroit style pizza, which I like. You don't like? Oh, I like it. If it's done well, it's delicious.
I'm also like kind of basic bitch with my pizza. I do love a sourdough pizza.
Sure, totally.
But I am like, give me a thin crust, not too much sauce, the right amount of cheese.
No, and I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
That's it.
No, that's my choice.
Yeah.
Detroit style pizza, I think I just end up, what I do is I think of it like crunchy lasagna. Like it's like a different thing. It's like bread casserole or something. It's I don't think of it as pizza necessarily, but this one was super good. And then in the middle, I had Pizza Hut.
Wow.
I know. I went to order from a really like dope place that's there. It was not open. I'd had a couple drinks. I ended up staying in a friend's hotel because they were like, hey, you can stay in our hotel. And I was like, oh, sweet. And actually, it was my friend Bootsy. Anyways, thank you, Bootsy. She hooked me up with a hotel room. She runs the bar program there or whatever. But super cute hotel, the Campfire Hotel and maybe Campfire Motel in Bend. But there's Pizza Hut right across the street. So the fancy place was not open. And I was like, ah, Pizza Hut. And you know
what?
I
will say.
It was real good.
I have such fond memories of Pizza Hut. The, you know, little shop city near where I lived. Plaza. Pizza Hut was in there. And I used to meet some of my friends in like 7th and 8th grade and get my personal pan pizza.
Sure.
And it was delicious.
Well, so the thing about personal pan pizza is that it's fried.
Right.
You know, it's basically frying in its own oil. So it's so good. That was not the pizza that I ate. I got thin crust. Their thin crust pizza is
I don't know if I've ever had their thin crust.
It's really good. It's almost, it ends up being kind of like a, what would it be? Almost like a puff pastry dough.
Wow.
It's like this layered dough experience, but it gets really like shiny and kind of lacquered feeling on the back. And it's like, it's crispy in a way that most thin crust pizzas are not. And I love it. I think it's really delicious. Okay. I'm not going to say it didn't give me wild heartburn.
Sure.
I think the sauce is just really sweet.
It's sweet. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
But anyway, so that was kind of, that was my week versus her week. Like I, oh, and then I get back to Portland. And I went and I was running errands today and I'm one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to. They discuss food a lot on it and I'm listening back through old episodes. And this was like August of last year. And they were talking about the fact that Wendy's was debuting their new French fries.
Ooh.
And there are these French fries that supposedly stay crispy for hot and crispy for 25 minutes.
Wow.
What
did you do that experiment?
Fuck yeah. No, yeah. I didn't do that. No, are you kidding me? No, I went during my errands today, went to the Cairo, and then I stopped at Wendy's and I got some fries. No, and I ate them. I destroyed them.
Are they good?
They were delicious. Very good. So yeah, that's what my week has been.
Yeah,
pizza tasting, fry tasting.
Well, we recently had McDonald's fries for the first time in, I don't know, a really long time.
Yeah.
And they were so disappointing. They were like not the fries of my childhood.
And I agree with that, which is probably true on a lot of levels because
they stopped using beef fat. When did that transition happen?
I don't know. It might not have been in our lifetime.
I know. I think because it was like when we were growing up, it was very much the margarine era. Boy.
Tallow, if they were using beef fat, it would have been like, hold on.
Right. But that is what made them so delicious.
but the fries that we had, the McDonald's fries that we had, they had a weird flavor to them, which I know McDonald's fries have.
Into it.
I know.
Wasn't into it.
Yeah. These, the Wendy's fries that I had today were excellent. I think Wendy's is my favorite of the big dogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Of the main, you know, five, if we're not including like Shake Shack or like In-N-Out, like the fancy spots or whatever, McDonald's or Wendy's, like their food is pretty banging. Yeah.
Maybe that's our next concept is sourdough fast food restaurant.
Nope. I'm out.
Couple things from this past week. So I'm not in any way saying that I'm an expert, but from, you know, just kind of tooling around and feeling nervous and anxious about my sourdough
overthinking it.
And,
God, finally we're getting value out of our overthinking,
right?
Helping people.
One thing that I learned was, so on the top of my starter was a like a little liquid, maybe a quarter inch of liquid.
Yeah, we saw
and
that.
I was like, oh, that's it. I fucking killed it. I ruined everything. But it turns out, I've done some research and referencing. There's a couple good sourdough books that actually we can link to.
Yeah.
But that is called hooch, apparently.
Amazing.
Uh-huh. And it is just indicative that your starter needs to be fed. And so mine is still developing this hooch. And so what I'm going to do next is try, because a lot of when you're feeding this gluten-free.
And by feeding, you mean adding flour and water.
Adding flour and water, yep. Okay. So with my gluten-free one, I'm doing a 1-to-1-to-1. So, you know, I'll take whatever, half a cup of the starter, half a cup of spring water, half a cup of brown rice flour. So I'm going to try upping the flour and the water.
Okay.
To see if that helps it not to settle.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because once it's like, you know, it's in the fridge now, so it's dormant, right? Yeah. So once you bake with it, you have to take it out and sort of feed it again and get it back to that nice bubbly active state.
When you say when you bake with it, because when you use your starter for baking, you're just scooping out a little starter and then adding it to your recipe?
No. So when I want to bake with that starter again, because I'm not going to be like a daily baker, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe weekly.
Okay.
Probably like bi-weekly, right?
Sure.
And so when you want to use it, you have to take it out and it's a process, right? You have to feed it, I think it's 3 times.
Oh, wow.
With the, you know, kind of 4 to 8 hour window in between.
Jesus Christ. So we're saying like 2 days before you want to bake something, you have to start thinking about it.
Yeah, day. Yeah.
This is why I couldn't be a baker.
But, you know, so what I'm going to try doing next time is feeding with a little extra flour and water to see if I can avoid that hooch. Because once it's active, it gets that really nice, beautiful, like pancake batter texture.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's bubbly. It's beautiful. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll make my sourdough even better, like tangy or something. I don't know.
Yeah. How does my hunger hooch shows up, how does that manifest itself?
How does it manifest?
Yeah. I feel like my hunger hooch is, I'm hungry, so I'm going to drink 6 IPAs. That's my hunger hooch. I'm hungry. I should eat something, but I'm going to drink.
I think for you, it's more like, I'm hungry, so I'm just going to reach into the cabinet and eat chips and cookies and a piece of chocolate. Yeah. And I really should be having lunch right now, but I'm just going to snack.
Yeah, I love snacking.
You do love snacking.
We call my sister Senator Grazenstein because she just grazes. She'll come through the kitchen and like, it'll be 10 minutes before dinner.
Yeah.
And like my mom will have cooked a massive spread and my sister will just hear, and she's just eating fucking rice cakes or something in the closet. I'm like, Senator Grazenstein, what are you eating now?
The other thing I think that I learned over these past couple of weeks is that the starter isn't as precious as I thought it was.
Well, I mean, this is what, when I was watching you look after your starter, the people in my life previously that have had starters in their world, these were the hippiest, smelliest people. One of them lived on a bus.
Right.
Like we're talking about like, this was not, like Rennie was like checking the exact
ambient temperature
over our fireplace. And I'm like, babe, I don't think it's that intense. Like,
yeah, I've really learned that. And I think this has been such a good process for me, right? The overworker of everything, to just really figure out that, I mean, this thing it's going to be okay. As long as it's not like getting red streaks in it and it's getting moldy.
Yeah.
Like it's okay. And look at these beautiful bakes that happened.
See, this is a really nice metaphor for if we have a baby at some point.
Totally.
It's like, you have to understand that like, they're just going to be doing their own thing. They're going to get a little hooch.
Yeah. It's true.
A little hunger hooch.
Yeah.
But they're going to be okay. They're pretty malleable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
I want to encourage you all, if you don't have a starter, start your starter. It's really satisfying.
And I want to encourage you, if you're just a basic bitch that wants to just like eat some baguette with some butter.
Fucking
do that too. Just lean in. Life's hard. Fucking snack more. All right, so being that it's Easter and our Lord and Savior is about to come out of the cave.
And this is a really Christian-focused show.
It is very much, yeah. We keep the Christ in podcasting. Podcasting for Christ. So yeah, well, I never really gave a shit about Easter per se, but I gave big fucks about Easter baskets and Easter brunching.
For sure.
I mean,
for sure.
The best.
Yep.
Never gave a shit about finding Easter eggs.
Oh.
Didn't want to do the egg hunt.
Yeah.
Boring.
Liked that. You know what else I liked is making palms. Oh,
never did
Palm
that.
Palm Sunday. Oh, you didn't.
No. Made Easter eggs, dyed Easter eggs.
Dyed Easter eggs.
Loved that because of the vinegar.
I don't know. That wasn't as exciting.
Those little fucking the little metal dippers that company Paz or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Into the vinegar. I love the vinegar.
I know the palms were so cool because there was a very particular way that you kind of weave them to make
them
the crosses. And it was actually my grandfather, I think, that I would sit and do them with, which seems really odd to me right now.
That's awesome.
But what would you
do with the palms?
Hold
them?
What?
Like hold the fan yourself with them or what?
No, they're small. They were small. Oh. Like we made little crosses with them. Yeah. He may have like taken them to his store and given them out maybe.
Oh, okay.
Or I don't know. I can't.
Feels pushy.
I can't really remember. I can't really remember where they went.
But. I remember being in Florida with my grandparents for an Easter mass. And there was fucking palm stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
It was the first time I think I'd ever seen it.
Yeah.
I just grew up in Colorado where everything was too dry for palms. I think the palms just go and just fall apart and turn to dust. But anyway, so in pre-celebration of Easter.
Sure.
And all the ham we're going to eat.
Sure.
And all the conviviality that we're going to have with our friends and Christ.
Sure.
I have an Easter quiz for Corinne.
Great. I can't wait. I love your quizzes.
My quizzes, they're great. I mean, they're thinkers.
They're thinkers.
Stumpers.
Yep.
Did you have a word for them? An adjective or anything?
No, I was going to say it's a little difficult to come out on top.
Well, it's not hard for me. The quiz master, Mike Schultz. We normally only do quizzes when people are here, when
that's
we have
true.
A guest on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Abby is kind of our guest on the show. She's sitting right in between us.
So cute.
But she's too stupid for any quiz. So, so this one's for Corinne only.
Okay, great.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay,
yep.
That's great. This is going to be called our Easter buffet quiz.
Okay, fab.
Yummy buffet? I think not. It's not Jimmy. Mm-mm. Okay. So this is buffet. Oops. There are also questions about Easter baskets. Oh, so it's the basket and buffet quiz.
Great. B&B.
Great. Here we go. B&B quiz. First question. Best item to get tons of at the Easter buffet. First of all, did you guys go to Easter buffet?
No.
Oh.
We had dinner at my grandmother's house.
Is that a rich kid thing to do?
No, I mean, it's just not a, like, you go to grandma's house on Easter.
Well, my grandparents didn't love us, and we didn't live near them, so. my dad's parents wouldn't have done anything, probably. And then my mom's parents, I don't know what they did for Easter.
Well, must have very much celebrated. They were very, very Catholic.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my family, we would always go to a buffet.
Okay.
At, like, a country club, I guess. Not a country club, though, like a conference center.
Sounds awesome.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was buffet. Amazing. Yeah.
It's great.
So this is kind of a general buffet question, I guess, but specifically Easter buffet.
I would say, I'm thinking too, like this, what I ate the most of at my grandma's house on Easter, and it was definitely ham.
Ooh, ham. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Not the right answer, but very, very close. But the answer is what I would do. And first of all, little Mikey would be pink and sweating so much because he was in his stupid Easter outfit. But there was always two action stations next to each other. One, waffles.
Oh.
Two, bacon. And the bacon was not regular bacon. They would like put honey and pepper and stuff on the bacon. So it's like fancy bacon. And so I would get waffle, bacon, and make myself like a tower.
Wow.
And then I would go back, eat all of that, and then barely be able to get to anything else in the buffet.
God, that sounds delicious.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. So 0-1. Question number two, best Easter basket gift. Or I don't know. Is that what we call them? Best Easter basket inclusion. What was the best thing that was in your Easter basket ever?
A really good question. I'm going to have to say Lip Smackers, Dr. Pepper, lip balm.
I mean, was Easter Bunny trying to get you to make out? Easter Basket was pretty naughty that year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Bunny was like, you should go get your kiss on.
That's right. You better moisturize those lips.
If the ladies in my world had Lip Smackers, you knew they were down. I'll just say that much.
Pink lemonade and Dr. Pepper.
I'm gonna modify. Dr. Pepper feels like real naughty girl.
Naughty, right?
Yeah. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Real sassy.
Great answer. Incorrect. Best Easter basket gift was the time that I got Vanilla Ice's cassette tape. In my Easter basket. And then I listened to it for, I think, 2 days. And then my mom found out who Vanilla Ice was or what the lyrics were or something. And that shit got taken away post haste. But man, those couple days of like slamming jelly beans and listening to fucking Rob Van Winkle. Woo. They were pretty good. Do you know that's his real name?
Glory days. Rob Van Winkle
is Vanilla Ice's real name.
Amazing. Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, so 0-2. Worst Easter candy.
Oh, the Easter bunny, the like hollow Easter bunnies that are chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're going to
it's a toss-up.
Full carte blanche and say, or is that the way to say that?
It's a toss-up. It's a toss-up.
Okay.
It's either Peeps or the...
Yeah,
hollow Easter bunnies. I feel like I got it every year.
The Russell Stover's one.
Russell Stover, the shittest chocolate.
Yeah, it's shitty. Yeah. Okay. So that is a correct answer, actually. Yeah. Because Peeps are the worst.
I mean, Peeps are the worst. Yeah,
and if you like Peeps, I think there should be kind of a pre-arrest.
You need to peep some therapy.
You do. And I think you should be able to arrest people. If they're eating Peeps, the next thing they do... I don't know. It's going to be something illegal. Could be murder. Could be. I don't want to guess.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm going to call this a correct answer. Wow. And the Russell Stover, I will say, I never knew how to eat the hollow bunnies.
Oh, no. What?
I was like, Am I supposed to smash it?
Yeah.
I hated them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me a fucking Cadbury egg.
Thank you.
Or the little
Cadbury minis.
Oh yeah, those were really good. Mm-hmm. I also really loved the like limited edition peanut M&Ms that were in like the pastel color because you would know that they were freshly made.
Yeah,
like, they weren't all fucking rotten and rancid. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have 1-3 at this point.
Wow, I don't think that's ever happened before.
Only the second correct answer on the Mikey and Ren Eat In quiz ever.
Love that. Feeling really, really wonderful.
Okay, this one's kind of a random one, but what was the event with the best Easter bunny that you ever attended? And I'm saying this could be a painted Easter bunny. This could also be a human dressed as an Easter bunny. This could be also a real bunny.
Luckily, I don't think I ever went to events with a dressed up Easter bunny. I feel like that's a situation that I'm probably not going home from. I'm not getting out of that situation.
If that person's also ramming down some Peeps.
And I've got my Dr. Pepper lip smacker on.
Oh, God.
That's it. It's over.
You are in his sights.
Yeah. It's over. Wow.
Yeah. It's a hard question. You don't have to have an answer either.
Yeah. I really can't recall even a like.
Yeah.
Party where there was an Easter bunny on the wall. Okay. Or, yeah.
So that's an incorrect answer, unfortunately. Yeah, it's 1-4. But on this show, that actually means you've won.
Definitely. Yeah.
So the best Easter bunny is also the worst Easter bunny. There was a particular Easter that I was at my grandparents' house and something happened where they had like a stack of, and this was in the 80s, a stack of really poorly made masks that you could strap on the back of your head.
Yeah, totally.
There was an Easter bunny. There was also a fucking clown. It was like every skin, and they were deranged looking. Mm. And I don't know if I remember it actually like from being there, but pictures, I'm scarred forever because it's the only Easter bunny that I think of. And I think it was one of my uncles or something was wearing the mask and it was just the most murderous. You know, the face was just like, pasty white. Oh, God, it was terrible. So, yeah. So you weren't there for that. So you couldn't have known.
Totally.
But that's the point of this quiz.
Yep.
And so, you know, everybody, we're just going to go. Oops, wrong one. There we go. Corinne is the big winner.
Thank you. It feels really, really good.
It should feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to, so we don't have an Easter tradition, but we are going to, I think we're going to have some dinner with some friends. Mm-hmm. We're going to eat a lot
of
ham.
I'm going to work.
Oh, you are. And then. That's true. But we hope that you guys have a wonderful Easter if it's something that you celebrate. If it's not, good for you. And we're just glad that you were with us this week. Abby's excited too. She has someone, the Easter Bunny is bringing her some early chocolates right now.
Yeah. Maybe reach out and tell us about what you're celebrating around this time.
Yeah.
There's lots of other religions other than Christianity, it turns out.
Yeah, and Christianity on a lot of levels, pretty bad one. Yeah. I'd give it 1 star.
Yeah.
More than anything, that's, you know, this is a show about food, and it's, I don't give a fuck what the holiday is, just what are you eating?
What are you celebrating?
Yeah, totally.
You can do that on Instagram at Mikey and Rin. Feel free to send us a message. You can also email us letseat@mikeyandrin.com.
And we love having you guys here. We're going to have a great guest again next week, but we hope that, you know, I think kind of every 3 episodes or something, it'll just be the two of us just really palling out.
Totally.
Having a great time. Maybe getting a cool quiz from Mike, learning a lot.
Great.
Yep. Losing a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We love you guys. Tune in, subscribe, love us. Never leave us.
Please.
Happy Easter. Happy pizza extravaganzas, if that's what you're doing. Mm. If you want to see some pictures of all the butter that I bought and see pictures of all of the delicious things that Rinny made out of sourdough, at Mikey and Rin, MikeyAndRinne, on Instagram. You're welcome. Ta-ta.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.